I'm Shannon Ray Moore, star of the upcoming fan film Charles, and you're listening to The Movie Raid.
It's time for The Movie Raid, and tonight's victim is actor, voice actor Shannon Morris, as done Charles the fan film. Hello.
How you doing?
Fantastic, man. So tell us a little bit about this movie that I know that's been in works. It's almost fully completed, and it's almost rare to be released sometime, like, what, next year or so?
Yes. There's not a release date yet, but nothing's set in stone, but I would say early to mid next year. Don't quote me.
So tell us a little bit about the experience. Was there a lot of people that was up in line for this role, or was this one of those, oh, that's the guy type moment?
Actually, that's the guy. They found me on YouTube and they contacted me. Mike Chiponte found my video on YouTube of me doing my Chucky impression, showed it to Tony, and they were like, that's our guy.
Did you have to go real in depth of this role, or did you pretty much understood what this character was, or did you want to go a little bit deeper without actually making it something that, you know, not go outside the boundary, so to speak, with not just Charles the character itself, but also even Chucky himself?
Right. Well, yeah, and that's actually what the script called for. It called for me to go deeper and try to slack down on a lot of the humor and make it really dark.
Now, how did you feel about that, to make it dark, though? We're all used to Chucky. We know he likes to have fun, too, and at the same time.
Yeah, he's still got that sadistic, morbid personality and that weird sick sense of humor, but it's toned down, you know, and it's dark, very supernatural, psychological type of horror film. It likes to do things to the psyche when you watch it. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I just saw that. I can't believe that just happened.
Now, when you were doing this role, was this something that you needed a visual aid, like you actually literally had to look at the doll or any concepts or anything like that, or did you have to bake this by scratch and try to figure it out on your own that, what can I do this but still stick close to who Charles is?
Right. I try to remain very close to the character that's already been portrayed way better than I could ever play it by Brad Dourif. Also wanted to add my own twist on things and, of course, yeah, make it really, really dark. In this movie, the character is much like he was in the first Child's Play film. He's a lot more ominous in a sense that his supernatural abilities are way more up to par than they were ever.
So far, there's not a tremendous amount of fan films that would do this.
Yeah, not to the extent that we went to. He always wanted to do it ever since he was a little kid. He said, Mom, I'm going to do a Chucky film in some capacity. And it's probably been on his bucket list for a long time, and he doesn't quit. So that's why he wanted to do this.
Now, did it take a large portion of the time to get the dialogue and everything for you to voice it and everything else, to including an actor, because you're going to be in physical and in verbal form? How long did it actually take you to get both of these processes, like, in sync?
I had the script for like 3 months before we even started production, so I had to live with that script for quite a while, and pretty much at home with a buddy of mine, you know, I would kind of like practice it, you know what I'm saying? So I had plenty of time to come up with what I was going to do. Plus, even before that, I knew I was going to be doing this. Watching a lot of Brad Dourif and a lot of Chucky.
And sometimes people just do it and it just sounds good without actually reflecting, without actually thinking about it. And that's cool and everything else. You just do it. That, there might be no depth about the character. You just do, just have the frontal of it.
You don't want to phone anything in. You don't ever want to phone it in.
And oftentimes, it's just like a front. Like, here, you hear the front, but where's the back? You know, it's like there's nothing to play it back from behind it. You just hear the voice sometimes. It's like if you just did it that way without actually putting some real depth into it.
Right. But after having it for so long, I had already had time to, you know, perfect it. So by the time I got in the studio, I didn't even have to think about it. I just did it.
Can actually entering character give that performance different perspective view when you're doing this on performance than on the role itself? When you enter it, can it give you a different perspective view when you come to upcoming roles? Does it change your perspective view in a way?
Yes and no. My thing is, I'm a perfectionist, given whether it be comedy or drama. I'm going to drive the shit out of that car, you know what I'm saying? So I really don't think of it that way. Yes, I think of it as a job, but it's a job that I'm passionate about, and everything I do correctly. So I don't really think of it that way.
Because oftentimes, if someone would step into, especially like something like this character, and they do it for X amount of months, and then let's say they get a role for something else, that's fine, they could shake that character off and everything, but at the same time, some of that element might still drag onto you and to kind of make your mannerisms different in your next role. So it's kind of like a cautionist type of deal.
Whenever I got to see some footage of myself as Charles Lee Ray, I watched it, and then after watching it, I went straight to sleep with that in my brain, and I had a nightmare about myself as Charles. Which is great, because watching it, I was able to think, that's not me, you know. So it actually kind of scared me a bit.
You know, working with this kind of film, do you think that it can be a fine line between the satisfaction between the audience and the artist as well?
Absolutely.
You want the audience to be connected at the same time, but at the same time, you kind of want to connect with them, but there's so many different factors involved, even with this particular film, it's the satisfactory level has to be almost at a very high end between you, between them, between whole story, everything. It has, I don't want to say perfection, but it definitely has to be very close to it, at least.
I want people to watch the trailer or think they know what this film's going to be. They think they know the concept. Oh, I think I know what this is. To think they know what they're expecting and then have their expectations completely averted.
It was satisfactory. Is that more important to, or is it more important to make the audience in that satisfactory level? You can perform it, and it can go well, it could even be a huge success, but at the same time, would you be truly satisfied on Satisfactory and not just to have the audience satisfied of the role itself, even though that is very important too?
Some are going to love it, some are going to hate it, of course. And whether everybody hates it or whether everybody loves it, we get our own spin on it, we get it the way we wanted to do it, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. It's amazing, so everybody, there's no reason for anyone not to like it.
You can't always appease the audience. I mean, that's always a given. That's always been a given from the dawn of time. But when you are doing, especially this kind of film, you know, competition is kind of subtly there, and sometimes you feel like maybe you got to be in compete, not with yourself, but with the character. You know, you got a lot of other films that are within the same genre. You're kind of battling it too, because you want to get this film out there, and you want to get yourself out there, and you want to also be satisfied as well as appease the director too.
Exactly. I want the director to be happy with my work. I want the audience to love what we did. I want everybody involved to look back on the project and say, yes, look what we did. I want everyone to look at the project and say, oh my God, it was worth the wait.
If the film doesn't become as successful as you planned for, how would you actually really feel the effect go on you on that? Would you actually say, well, we tried, and hopefully, you know, it'll be more successful in other realms?
And you know how a lot of films weren't successful when they were first released, but then as time went on, they found a cult following and people started to embrace them and love them.
And some do and some don't. Some of them stay either on the shelf or in the void of other films that just never went into circulation for some reason.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. There's already so much talk about a movie that nobody's ever seen yet. So I'm not really worried about it going into obscurity.
And unfortunately, that does happen, though, with a lot of other filmmakers, too, because they try so hard to get it out there. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you're putting the effort into it and you got all this money, especially the GoFundMe and all that other stuff. I mean, a lot of this money has came from the audience that want to see this. They are the backers, and here you are trying to get this product out there. And when you're trying to market off to other areas to where it does go into obscurity of that, though.
That's just the way things go sometimes. I mean, if it happens, that's devastating and unfortunate. But that would be a bummer.
Does this help you out a little bit in terms of doing more voiceover work? Does this give you an idea to where you can create something of your own?
Yeah, the thing is, voice acting, I never thought I'd get into. Just acting yourself. I'll tell you the truth, it's a lot easier. You don't have to worry about how you look.
In situations like this, you never know. You doing animated, you could do anything.
Exactly. Like, animated is what I would have. If I was going to do voice acting, that's what I thought it would be, with animation.
Do you think that one success of a character should be more acknowledged than more praised?
I guess it depends on the role or the project, you know? As an actor, we want our voices heard. It's not an attention thing, but obviously we want to be acknowledged. We do a lot of different roles, and we're only remembered and appreciated for just the one. Yeah, I don't want that to happen. I want to be so versatile and do a lot of different stuff, and everybody's like, you know, I love you, and they'll go start naming off 10 different things they love me in, you know?
And especially if they know you from this particular film. I mean, that's great, but what happens to all the other films and all these other characters that we have a voice in, like, what happens to those? They might not just look at that. That's also something that you could worry about, but at the same time, you kind of need to just keep pressing forward. But how would you feel if that would happen to you if this does become more than what it is?
I'll embrace it. You know, I love Chucky anyway, so it was an honor to do it. It's an honor to be remembered for it. I mean, when I'm trying to branch out, of course, I want everything I do to be just memorable, you know?
Go ahead and plug in any websites or anything that we can check out or anything that you care to add with this.
My official Facebook page, there's a link to Shannon Moore's The Man of Many Voices. Click on those, and it tells you everything I'm up to, everything I'm going to be doing, everything I'm doing.
Can we check out the actual Charles trailer on YouTube or anywhere else on websites as well?
Yes, just type in Charles 2020, and the trailer will pop up. Go to Tony Dizzy's YouTube channel and find it there.
And there you have it, everybody. That is actor, voice actor, Shannon Morris.
Thanks for having me.